Thought Bubble Audio.
Look, up in the sky!
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Welcome to Beer with Geeks with Tim and Frank.
Who are you?
I'm Batman.
I am Iron Man.
Your friendly neighborhood Spider-Man.
Hi, Christopher. I'm Nero.
My name is Inigo Montoya.
You're a wizard, Harry.
A couple of guys with a couple of beers and a whole lot of pop culture nostalgia.
Make it so, number one.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Beatles.
Name the dog Indiana.
Life finds a way.
I am serious. And don't call me Shirley.
Now sit back and crack open a cold one. Because it's time for Beer with Geeks.
It comes in pints?
Shaken, not stirred.
Great Scott!
I was way off. I knew it started with an S, though.
Hi, and welcome to Beer with Geeks. We're two geeks, geek out with beer. I'm Tim, and with me, as always, is my guardian from another galaxy friend, Frank. How are you today?
I am doing quite well, my friend. How are you? It's so good to have you back on the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much. It is lovely, lovely to be back. I highly enjoyed your Hamilton episode with Damon and Dan. Particularly the intro before the prelude before the intro was terrific. I loved it. It was very informative. Some things I didn't know, some things I did. It made me want to pull out my Hamilton soundtrack and listen to it all over again because it's been a little while. So It was great. I loved it.
Yeah. Well, it was a lot of fun. That intro was entirely Dan's idea and it was hilarious and I loved it. It was a lot of fun to do with those guys. They're always a blast. And, but we certainly missed you and it is good to have you back.
Thank you. Thank you. I am back stateside. It's nice to be back. I am so extremely jet lagged. So we'll see how nutty this episode gets, Frank. You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
That's
what we're here for.
Oh, my. So what are you drinking tonight?
Frank, I am drinking a tea because if I had a beer, I would fall asleep. But I did have a beer with dinner, so I could talk about that. I went to the 99 for dinner with somebody, and I had the Horseshoe Brew, which is their own beer. It's good. It's very light and crisp and it's for a low, low price. So I enjoyed it. It's good.
Yeah. Now, I guess
I do not work for them.
Neither of us does, but I think we should probably explain for those who don't know, 99 is a regional chain in the Northeast in New England mainly that is, think of like an Applebee's or a Chili's or that kind of that style. So it's that type of place, and yeah, they've got their horseshoe ale that is it's brewed by the Wachusett Brewing Company and it's available at 99 restaurants. Nice. I'm actually also drinking tea right now. Oddly enough. Yeah, I'm drinking Twinings Darjeeling tea. I've been enjoying.
Are you just sucking down Darjeeling?
Oh my God, what a great reference. I love that. With Marie Antoinette and her little sister.
Sister.
Wow. Yeah. I'm enjoying the Twinings Darjeeling at the moment. What kind of tea are you consuming at the moment?
I am consuming a Bigelow green tea.
Ooh, I've been drinking a lot of that lately too, actually.
Have you?
Yeah.
I do love the Bigelow. When I was abroad, I had long flowing golden hair and jokes.
Yeah, wow.
Jokes. Jokes. No, when I was overseas, every place that I went to sold Twinings.
Oh, nice.
That was like the tea you could get. There was no other choice.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I mean, so it's funny.
You were in the UK, right? I mean, it is
I was in the UK. I was in Scotland with Gerard Butler. And I was in England with Sir Patrick Stewart.
Very nice. Very nice. Mm-hmm. tea, Earl Grey, hot. Yeah, cool.
Yeah,
cool.
I was actually in Stratford upon Avon, which is where Shakespeare was born and buried.
Yes,
and I was in the church where Shakespeare was buried, and there was a sign, like a poster, with Judi Dench and Patrick Stewart on Madame Judi Dench and Sir Patrick Stewart on a thing like asking you to donate to the church.
You know?
So because this is where Shakespeare's buried and we need to keep it up and, you know, and around or whatever else. But my tour guide who I was with, we were standing there and she turns to me and goes, Saint Judy, Saint Patrick. As we stand here in this church, here are the saints of Shakespeare.
Amazing. Seriously.
Yeah, but seriously, yeah. So good. I loved it.
Outstanding. I love it. Sounds like you had quite an adventure.
It was quite an adventure. I will regale you with some stories another time, but not on the air, Frank. Those are not the stories for this podcast. What is the story for this podcast, Frank? Guardians of the Galaxy.
Oh yeah,
a movie that came out an indefinite amount of time ago that we have not talked about. The sequel is fast approaching. It is about high time that we talked about this first one.
I do agree, good sir. Yeah, by the time you're hearing this, it'll be just about a week away. So it is high time that we spoke about it. We saw Guardians of the Galaxy together back in 2014. Yes,
we saw it in the grand old city of Boston, did we not?
I don't remember where we saw it, to be honest. Probably.
I think we saw it at the Lowe's across from the park.
Probably.
Sure.
Yeah. Most likely. Yeah. I don't remember, but that sounds right. Yeah. So that was it seems like so long ago, but it really wasn't. But it was I think it was before there was a Beer with Geeks. So,
you know, I think you're right. Mm-hmm.
So in that sense it was quite a while ago. So because it was before Beer with Geeks, we never really talked about it. So I guess we don't need to start with the usual, oh, do you remember the first time you saw this movie? Because we saw it together.
Yes,
we can dispense with those pleasantries. But what is do you remember like the hype leading up to this movie and sort of the everyone being like, oh man, can you believe they're making a Guardians of the Galaxy movie? Like, what? Marvel.
Yeah, everyone was like, I don't even know who those characters
are. Yeah, exactly. It actually was very similar to the hype leading up to Iron Man, where it's like, wow, they're taking this obscure character and making a movie out of him.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I remember that. And then that first trailer came out and people were like,
Ooka chaka.
Yeah, well, slap me silly and call me Sally. Like, I had no, like, what a crazy fun adventure that looks like. The backlash I remember the most was Bradley Cooper as Rocket.
Yeah, that's right. Yep.
Do you remember how much people were like, Bradley Cooper,
what?
He can't act, said said a lot of people, and then who had to bite their tongue because Bradley Cooper is actually a great actor.
Yeah.
And then so they had that, but they were like, well, that he doesn't sound like Rocket at all. And then they heard Rocket talk and they were like, well, slap me silly and call me Sally. Like, yeah, I don't know why I keep saying that.
I like it. So
don't you?
Yeah.
Don't you? Cat, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's sitting on the couch with me, and he's purring, but he's also looking at my arm like he's going to eat it. Like, what are you doing?
He's hungry.
I can't turn and look at him and talk into the microphone at the same time, but he's definitely going to attack me when I'm not looking.
Maybe you should have fed him, you know?
I did feed him.
Oh, yeah, I did feed him. Yeah, sure. That's what they all say.
I brought him back delicacies from Europe.
Well, that's your problem. He wants your American hand, not your European delicacies. God, yeah. Does that explain everything to you?
God, maybe it's actually because I didn't bring him back anything and I was lying and he's jealous.
That could also be that might be the problem.
He's jelly. Yeah. Okay, goodbye, cat. Please don't attack me.
Bye.
Okay, goodbye.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. It's...
What a world we live in. Anyway, Frank, I watched this movie this afternoon in preparation for this.
Nice.
I still had it unpacked, so I came home and watched it. So it is, while I unpacked and stuff. So it is fresh in my mind.
Fresh as a daisy. I love it.
Frank, I'm going to be honest with you. I like this movie a lot. I do not love this movie the way the rest of the world does.
Whoa. And has that always been your stance? Have you always not loved it as much as everybody else?
It has always been my stance, yeah.
Okay, explain yourself.
There are a lot of things about this movie that I really, really, really like. I love the aesthetic, certainly. The production design is gorgeous. I think some of the characters are really good. I love the soundtrack, as does pretty much everybody. But I find some of the pacing a little odd. Like, it's just kind of like it goes through these moments where it's like high energy, and then sometimes then it just kind of lulls and it sits for a little while.
Okay.
And then it does this pickup thing, and then it kind of lulls and sits again. And I didn't really care for that. I find that some characters are really fascinating. Like Groot and Rocket are great. Star-Lord is great. I really like Nebula, actually. Even though the first time I saw it, I really like Nebula. But I thought that Gamora was lacking a lot. I don't think it was Zoe Saldana's fault, because she's a good actress.
Yes.
But there's something about that character that just doesn't click with me and doesn't feel like she clicks with the other characters.
I'll agree with you on that, actually. I will agree that character felt a little flat, a little shallow. And you would have hoped for more. But yeah, I'll agree with you there that maybe her character was not as fleshed out as some of the others were.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the second one to see if that kind of fleshes itself out more.
Yeah.
And I think that Ronan was flat and kind of wasted.
The
villain.
Okay. Okay. I've heard that criticism before as well.
I think it's a classic Marvel problem. Spend a lot of time on the heroes, and so the villain gets left by the wayside. There are very few of their films that doesn't happen to, which isn't the worst thing, because you really want the heroes, like, you want to care more about the heroes than you do about the villains. But in a film, you don't want to have the Tim Burton problem where you're like, you're watching a movie about the Penguin and also Batman's in it, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
I think that Ronan like had this potential to be like a really scary terrorist type villain, which they allude to, which he's not even alluded to, which he is, but you don't really feel his significance. Like, it's a lot of him going, I will destroy this. I will talk to Thanos.
Yeah.
Hello, Thanos. I will destroy. And it's like, you're Ronan the Destroyer. Are you going to destroy something, or are you not going to destroy something?
Just going to talk about it, or are we going to do some destroying?
Are we going to destroy? And so by the time like you finally get to see him, like you finally get to see him do something, by that point he has an Infinity Stone, and so like it's like, could you do anything before that? You know, so just little things like that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll definitely give you that.
Yeah, I mean, like, he fights Drax and wins.
Right.
So it's like, clearly he's got something to him. But, yeah, which is a shame, because I also really like Lee Pace, the guy who plays Ronan, is a good actor. And it just, yeah, I don't know, something about it. So anyway, but that being said, the movie itself is a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's original. It feels original and fresh, and you want to spend more time. And it does so well at establishing the Marvel Universe's, the MCU's space opera side of things, that you want to spend more time in that area of the galaxy. Not even necessarily even with the Guardians, but I just want to see more of. I want to see more of the MCU's space, just because it was so fun to be there.
So much fun.
Yeah, and horribly scary at the same time.
Yes, that's very true. That is very true. I So I agree with a lot of with some of your criticisms there, but they didn't. And I'm sure you're not saying that it's that they. It's not a bad movie. You're not saying that at all. I understand that. Yeah, yeah. I want to make that clear for anyone who. They didn't take away from my enjoyment of the movie like at all, and they didn't knock the movie down any pegs in my estimation. You know, I really I feel like this is still one of the stronger MCU films.
Definitely.
You would yeah, you would agree?
Yep. Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So I would say this was one of their still one of their stronger ones. You know, I would say I would say this one, I would say Winter Soldier still, Civil War, you know, those are among their sort of cinematically like best
strongest films. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's not to say that there aren't other films that are excellent. But those I think are probably three of the stronger MCU films. I'm probably skipping one that's very, very obvious right now, but those are the three that sort of come to mind right away. The first Iron Man. Yeah. Yeah. Well, the first Iron Man. Yes. But I don't know that it's like as artistically on the same level as, like Winter Soldier.
I agree with that.
Yeah,
it's by the numbers in a lot of ways.
Yeah, yeah. Because if we were gonna, I mean, if we're talking about like favorites, yeah, Iron Man, the first Avengers, the first Thor, and a couple others would probably be on that list. Doctor Strange, but yeah, in terms of like craft, to be pretentious for a second, I actually think this one is kind of up there in terms of it's got. I don't remember being that put off by pacing issues. Maybe I would disagree if I rewatched now, but I don't remember. Last time I watched it was probably 3 or 4 months ago, when it just like happened to be on, and I ended up watching the whole thing. And yeah, I don't remember being that off put by it.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I mean, these are things that like I don't think not everyone notices, but sometimes when a movie is hyped,
yeah,
these are the things that I that sit with me and I have a hard time even like years later breaking out of them. So, which is one of the reasons I've been trying to avoid almost anything about the second one, so I can kind of just go in and be like, I'll see if it's good, as opposed to like assuming it's going to be amazing and spectacular.
Right.
Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see how this system works. But anyway, let's get out of negative Nancy zone.
Who invited Nancy anyway?
I don't know who likes Nancy.
I don't really.
I don't know. Stop solving mysteries. Not everything is a mystery, Nancy.
We get it. You're smart.
We get it. You're a Drew. We get it. That was fun. Nancy Drew jokes. What's your favorite? Who's your favorite Guardian?
I mean, it's got to be Star-Lord. Peter Quill is, he's Andy Dwyer, but a superhero. You know? I mean, how can you? I know. I found him incredibly fun. But I do have to give Drax a shout-out because he is hysterical, and he's great comic relief. Mm-hmm.
Nothing would go over my head. My reflexes are too quick. I would catch it.
Exactly. So I love him. You know, Rocket of course is fun, but I would have to say that Star-Lord's my favorite, followed by Drax.
I think mine is Groot, followed by Star-Lord. Yeah.
Groot is a lot of fun. Is a lot of fun. And I don't think there's anyone who would begrudge you that. I think everyone would just about agree. Like, Groot is adorable and Groot is super fun, no matter who you are. Have you seen a little? You can get a baby Groot for your car that will plug into the cigarette lighter jack, and so he'll like dance in your car, and he's got USBs on him, so you can charge your phone in baby Groot.
That's awesome. Yeah. I should look into that.
Yeah, it's super
fun. Great. So actually when I was in Europe, I said this on Supergirl TV Talk, but I saw Thriller, the Michael Jackson musical, in which it kind of goes through Michael's life. And so they did I Want You Back as part of the
show.
And so, but all I thought about was Guardians of the Galaxy. So like that song is now like irrevocably linked in my head with that movie.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah. As are a lot of songs for, you know what I mean? Like they've just, it did such a good job. The soundtrack did such a good job at establishing, a unique sound and grounding the story. You know, cause for a movie that, you know, takes place in space and everything like that, you might have a hard time trying like connecting with it in a way. And so I thought the music was a really good way to kind of ground his audience back to kind of back to Earth, I guess.
Yeah, that's a good point. We should talk about the soundtrack, the Awesome Mix Volume 1, because it really took off that year. 2014 was sort of like that was a major, all the songs on that soundtrack really, you know, found new life. Some of them were already big hits and some of them were not so much, were sort of a little more obscure and became more popular. I love that soundtrack. I was listening to it, you know, nonstop on Spotify that year, that summer. Mm-hmm. And then that Valentine's Day following the release of the movie, my wife gave it to me on vinyl.
Nice.
Which was very nice. So I've got it on vinyl now.
Do you know how much that soundtrack took off? I used Siri the other day to play I Want You Back. I said, Siri, play I Want You Back by the Jackson 5. It played the song from the Guardian soundtrack from Awesome Mix Volume 1.
There you go.
Not the best of the Jackson 5.
Right,
not,
right.
Like, it pulled it from the Guardian soundtrack.
That was the place that it found it first.
Yeah, which I do not own because I have Apple Music. So it's not downloaded or anything. It's just like it went into iTunes and was like, bam, this is how it's most popular.
Yep.
So this is what I want to pull it from. That's crazy. Crazy, crazy, crazy.
Good anecdote.
Wasn't it? It was a great anecdote. There are a lot of people in this movie that they're not cameos, but they're, it's almost like Glenn Close as the Nova Corps leader.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you kind of like Glenn Close, you're in a Marvel movie.
I know.
You're in a Marvel movie, Glenn Close. And it kind of, in some ways, almost felt like getting like Alec Guinness for Star Wars.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Or getting like Marlon Brando for Superman. It's like, whoa, what have we reached here? Where these like, you know, top level actors are now in comic book movies. Like, what? Mm. And you know, like, not that it hadn't happened before, but yeah, it's one of those moments of like, oh, this is a thing. MCU is a thing.
Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, it has been. And there are other actors in other movies that are not in title roles that you go, wow, I can't believe you're here. Anthony Hopkins is a great example of that as Odin and Thor. But I just like this thing about Glenn Close being in a space opera with weird hair and bright colors and aliens standing opposite John C. Reilly and Peter Senefenowicz. And you're like, wow, okay, this is happening. This is a movie.
You know what it is? It's having her play a role where she's not like top billing. She's nowhere near it. She's actually a tiny role. Like that's when even the tiny roles are like legendary actors. That's when you know something has really hit. Where people are like, oh yeah, no, put me in that movie. I'll play a small role. I don't care. Just put me in it.
Mm-hmm. Right. It's almost like, well, she has a history of, Glenn Close has a history of that. You know, like she wanted to be in Hook. So, you know, like, I don't care what role, just put me in it. So she played a boy pirate. You know, it's the same.
All right.
You
know, there you go. Yeah.
The boo box. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The boo box. No. You know, it's just things like that. It's just incredible. So it's so much fun.
I think that's fun. Fun is like the key word here about this movie. Like, it is just a fun movie. Super, super fun. To the point where when we started talking about this before, these like B, C level characters, you know, Star-Lord, Drax, like these are even Rocket and Groot. I mean, I knew Rocket Raccoon and I definitely knew Groot, but like I only knew of them. I had never read any of their stories or anything. And I definitely hadn't read any Guardians stuff in general. Didn't really know who Star-Lord was, didn't know who most of them were. And so this was, I was kind of one of those people who was like, yeah, I like comics. I read a lot of comics, but like, this is outside of my, this is just outside of my realm. So this made them all household names. Like, I Am Groot is a reference. It's like, May the Force Be With You now. You know, it's like one of those references that everyone gets, even if they haven't seen the movie. Everyone knows I Am Groot. Like, they get the reference.
You think it's as big as May the Force Be With You?
I kind of do.
Wow, that's a big claim.
I mean, it's not. It may not be as big as May the Force Be With You 40 years after May the Force Be With You, you know, became a thing. But as big as it was when it first came out, like, sort of like, it's in the pop culture. Yeah, I think it kind of is. I think it's very close to that. So yeah, I you know, it very instantly became a pop culture staple. I think because of the music. I think because of just. It was this little come from behind story from these characters that no one expected to take off, but it was such a good story. It was excellent talent all around. It had like everything kind of going for it. It was a perfect storm of all those factors to make this, what should have been sort of a flop of a movie, be a huge hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're right. In a lot of ways, like on paper, it doesn't really work. You know, almost an unproven director in James Gunn. Not unproven, but you know, certainly not big blockbuster material.
Right.
You know, a pretty unknown cast.
I mean, they had like the chubby guy from Parks and Rec playing. Playing like a superhero.
Right. And, you know, just a talking tree and a talking raccoon and, you know, like all together in space. And yeah, on paper, it shouldn't work. But if for some reason, it just does. And that's what I think what I really like about the movie. It's like the Guardians kind of facing insurmountable odds. This movie in and of itself is an insurmountable odd that they somehow made work and accomplished a good movie, a great movie, despite my kind of like qualms with it. But I could say that about like almost like I could say that like Captain America the Winter Soldier is too long, you know. You know, like so like I could say that about any movie if I really sat down and wanted to. So it's just my jet lag that's making me
jet lag strikes again.
Jet lag. I don't even know how long we've been recording. How long have we been here? Days?
A couple weeks? Hours. Yeah, don't worry about it.
Couple hours.
Do you have a favorite, like a favorite scene, a favorite sequence, or a favorite quote from the film?
That's a good question. There are a couple of quips that I really like. I love Star-Lord's entrance, like, you know, with him, you know, dancing his way through the planet.
Sure.
And then his, you know, Rage of the Lost Ark moment type, you know, with the orb and everything like that. Mm-hmm. I love when he actually escapes Digimon Hinzu and all of that, and you know, and he's like, the girl comes up and he's like, Marit, right, I'll be honest with you, I forgot you were here. Yeah. You know, I like things like that. I love when Groot like tendril spikes all of those guards and he just turns around and smiles. I love reflexes are too quick, and I love like, well, I need that guy's leg.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah. I love when Rocket actually gets exasperated more than anything, you know, just like, you know, whatever we do, we'll have to take that thing last. And then the alarm goes off and he's like, I do love little things like that. I love when Rocket stands up on the box after everybody stood up and said they'll like go fight Ronin, and he's like, well, here we are, all of us standing, like a couple of a-holes, you know. Yeah. I do, you know, so there are, I think there are Rocket's quips are hard to beat. I love the Kevin Bacon thing. Like, okay, I'm going to tell you about a great hero named Kevin Bacon.
That was great.
Yeah.
With the dancing.
Who taught people to get the sticks out of their butts. Like, that sounds terrible. Why were the sticks in their butts? Yeah, I like all of that. On a flip side of it, I love when Ronan actually murders Thanos's right-hand man, where he's like, I'm dangerous, and he just cracks the guy's neck, and you're like, wow, you got some gumption, sir.
Yeah, you just, okay.
Yeah, despite you not having layers of a character, you have some gumption, and I got to give you that. It was cool. I remember seeing Thanos for the first time in this movie, like having him talk and, you know, everything like that. It was almost like Darth Vader talking to the Emperor.
That's a good point. That is a good comparison. I like that. That's true.
Had that kind of vibe to it, almost in reverse, because the first time you see Thanos, he's sitting in the chair and they're talking, and the second time is the video screen.
Right.
And so it's almost like Empire, where it's like you see him like in the hologram first, and then you see him in Jedi, the full presence. But that's kind of what it reminded me of. And it's still cool. It's still cool to watch. And
yeah, totally.
Yeah. What about you? Do you have favorite things?
I mean, my favorite joke, my favorite gag probably is Rocket with the leg. Like, I need that guy's leg, and then like, and I'm gonna need that guy's arm. It's really important to me. Yeah. Like when he just literally can't contain himself the second time. That's probably my favorite gag. I really like the prison like sequence. Everything having to do with that, the whole breakout piece, I really like. That's sort of like one of the more fun adventures in the film to me. And then, of course, we are Groot.
Now, see, I actually don't like the we are Groot.
I that actually bothers me, because it's like, but he should only say I am Groot. But
well, even just by the rule that the film establishes early, like saying that, you know, his linguistics aren't as good as you and me. So he is, you know, he is stuck with I and am and Groot exclusively in that order, you know?
Right, right.
And so why can he now say we? Just linguistically, it just doesn't.
It breaks its own rules. Yeah. So I agree with that. I agree with that. And on the comic book guy level, it bothers me. But on the level of like what that act of self-sacrifice that he's doing there, that moment, putting aside the fact that linguistic rules, just the act of sacrifice, I'm like, oh man, he sacrificed himself for everybody, and it turned out he was fine, but like he didn't, you know, he really, really sacrificed himself. And so I don't know, it's a nice moment, nice touching moment at the end of the film. Did you know that they considered a bunch of people for Peter Quill? Like a bunch of people. We're talking Michael Rosenbaum, Zachary Levi, and there was at least one other that I'm Eddie Redmayne were all considered.
Really? I didn't know any of those names.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, early on. And then I think not too long before filming actually started, they locked in Chris Pratt, and he had to start working out right away. Because he was kind of pudgy before. Mm-hmm. And then he disappeared from Parks and Rec for a while.
Ironically, because of Peter Senefenowich, who was also in Guardians.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. So there's definitely like an alternate universe story you could, like fanfic you could tell, where those four characters, I guess, played by those two actors, or somehow
gallivanting together.
Yeah, like there's some kind of interdimensional breach or something. I'm sure there's some. I'm sure there's some fanfic that explains it away. But yeah, it is kind of funny. I hadn't thought about that, the Peter Serafinowicz fan of its connection. But yeah, they considered all kinds of people for that role, and then finally settled on what I think was the perfect choice in Chris Pratt.
Chris Pratt's great.
I loved him before, and he was so good. This like kind of launched a new career for him, where he wasn't just the character actor, the comedic relief. Like, it's because of this movie that he got Jurassic World. You know, like, this is what made him action hero Chris Pratt, in addition to just being like the chubby funny guy.
Speaking of Jurassic World, I got a Hollywood Reporter update as we were filming that Jeff Goldblum will reprise his role as Dr. Ian Malcolm.
Yes.
I know.
Life found a way.
Yeah, to make Jeff Goldblum come back and be in more stuff.
All right. Well, we're not going to beat that. There's no way. We're going to go out on top.
Yeah. Okay. We're going out. Okay.
I think we got to. That's it. That's the only way we can go out.
Okay. Sounds good. Well, you can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Gmail at Beer with Geeks. You can rate and review us on iTunes and Google Play and all of the places that you can download. You can download the podcasts. Please,
that's right.
Rate and review us. It is very important for getting our information out there. You can also find us on Supergirl TV Talk, which we talk about CW's hit show Supergirl. You can also find Frank and his wife Marissa on The Marketers Next Door, in which they talk about the social medias and all such things related to that. That's all I have to say. What do you have to say?
I have to say that until next time, cheers.